to read the article. But tell us throughout the show today who you would love to see featured on a list like that here in South Africa. Seeing as we are already talking about people on the older edge of the age spectrum, I'm going to keep the focus there for our On the Virtual Couch interview today, because today happens to be World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. And really, we want to keep the focus firmly on our older citizens and to take a look at the forms that elder abuse takes, some of them deliberate, some of them unconscious. It is a problem that sadly is all too prevalent, not just in this country, but around the world, which is why the UN saw fit to designate a day to raise awareness around the issue. And to help us do that here in South Africa, I'm delighted to welcome to the show Hilton Marks, who is a social worker whose practice focuses on care for the elderly and on helping families to navigate the aging process with patience and compassion. Hilton is a member of the South African Association of Social Workers in Private Practice, with us on the line from Gauteng. Hilton, great to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you so much for that lovely welcome. It's very nice to be on your program.
Hilton, almost all cultures claim to hold particular reverence for the elderly and appreciation for their wisdom, for their role as the custodians of our memory, of our family histories. Sadly, though, that isn't always reflected in the way we treat them, is it?
No, it isn't, unfortunately. And I think it's getting worse in our current societies with a number of factors, the struggle that people have to keep going, and also the issue of COVID, which has affected a lot of people financially. Mm. But yes, unfortunately, a lot of older persons are being subjected to abuse, neglect, and just generally, you know, not treated with respect.
Hilton, before we take a look at the specific forms that elder abuse takes in our society, let's just talk and contemplate a little bit about the bigger picture here. Is ageism at the core of the problem? Is it a sense that the elderly are not viewed in the same light anymore, that younger generations fail to recognize the important role they play in family culture, fail to regard them as still important and still being able to contribute and be of value to society? Is that part of the sort of underlying context that allows these problems to breed?
I think that's a large part of the problem. It's not the only part of the problem. Today, physical, financial, and emotional burdens that are placed on younger people often make it difficult for them to support or to maintain older people. So it's often a question of just the unavailability of resources. And one of the, if I may just, you know, carry on with this, mm-hmm. with this theme, is that and look, before I go any further, I just also want to say that there's a lot of good being done for older persons. And many families and institutions and homes provide excellent facilities for older persons.
Absolutely.
But unfortunately, and especially in our country at the moment, the number of facilities and resources that are available to older people are certainly nowhere near what is needed. The NPOs, all the non-profit organizations that provide such valuable services to all ages and all ages and all sectors of the community, they provide the lion's share of social services to the elderly. And they are obliged every year to sign service level agreements with the provinces to undertake to provide services to the older persons. And yet the government has been cutting the funding to NPOs mm-hmm. drastically over the past 2 years. So NPOs have had to cut down on the services they can provide. They've had to close offices because they can't afford to anymore. So the NPOs, which were doing the lion's share of social work services in the country, are now struggling to survive. And the people who are affected most and who suffer the most or the people who should be receiving those services.
Yeah.
It's a very sad state.
Just to recap for those who might have joined us late to the conversation, we're talking to Hilton Marks, who is a social worker in private practice, reflecting on World Elder Abuse Awareness Day and sketching the sort of broader context in which these problems are occurring. Hilton, very clearly for us there. You mentioned in our sort of discussions prior to this conversation that there are different forms that abuse takes, and not everybody recognizes abuse as such. I think, Hilton, everybody knows they've seen the cop Blanche expose of physical abuse in elder care homes, for example, and can quite clearly envisage what that looks like. But there are a lot of forms that are a lot more subtle and less obvious than that, aren't there? Won't you just talk to us a little bit more broadly about the nature of the problem?
Yes, of course. And there are several categories of abuse. They are all classified as abuse in terms of the Older Persons Act, which, you know, was promulgated in 2006 to protect the older people in our community. But abuse can take the form of physical abuse, where older people are physically hurt, either by being physically attacked by another person, or just suffering some physical harm. For example, being locked in a room. In some instances, I've even heard of people being chained or tied to a bed to keep them in one place. So that's physical abuse. Then there's emotional abuse. People can be abused emotionally by being insulted, by being told that they're no good, by making to feel that they're being rejected, by being threatened with various things. And then also there's financial abuse, and we see that very frequently. Older people in our country are entitled to an older person's grant, and although it's not of money, it would go a little way to help them survive month to month. And unfortunately, some unscrupulous family members, you see, take that money and spend it on themselves or on expenses that don't benefit an older person in any way. And there's verbal abuse, obviously shouting, swearing, demeaning older people, and sexual abuse of an older person, which for me is just unimaginable.
Yeah.
But we do see that, unfortunately, happening in our societies. And neglect and exploitation, just exploiting older people for what they have or what they can contribute, are forms of abuse.
The exploitation, sadly, something that we hear about all too often through our consumer segment with Wendy Nola, when so often the scams, the fraudsters out there target the elderly deliberately, Hilton, because they know they're not tech savvy or they are too trusting about the details that they share, that kind of thing. Yeah. It is unfortunately very prevalent. You mentioned neglect, and I just want to focus in a little bit more here, Hilton, because neglect is not always deliberate neglect. I think sometimes it's we know people are under time pressure. A lot of families are under massive pressure to be working extra hours to try and support themselves at the moment. And the act of going to visit an elderly relative on their own for most of the day is not always possible every day. But particularly the last year of lockdown has really amplified that issue of the social isolation and social neglect. Do you want to just elaborate a little bit more there?
Social isolation is probably one of the greatest dangers that that older people can face. Many studies have been done on social isolation, and the effects of it, amongst others, are that the person becomes depressed, they stop caring for themselves, they stop eating, they neglect their personal hygiene, they become ill more often, and they die younger than people who have a healthy social life. And with COVID and all the restrictions, the number of people that are now socially isolated or who feel socially isolated has gone up enormously.
Hilton, let's talk about solutions, if there are any. You know, as you said at the start, the context in which one has this conversation, one has to be mindful of. We're aware of the fact that so many people are struggling, that the financial worries, etc., are certainly not limited to the elderly and those who care for them. But the fact remains that they are particularly at risk because there are so few subsidized facilities available. I mean, if you're able to afford a private retirement facility of some sort. That's great, Hilton. They're going to be eyes keeping an eye on you, watching out for your health, making sure that you are socially engaged with other people. Mm-hmm. But that's a luxury that a great many elderly people in this country can't afford. And they are just, the bottom line is, too few other options available, aren't there?
There are, unfortunately, very few other options available. As I said, NPOs try and provide services as much as possible, but it's woefully inadequate. And the question of affordable residential accommodation for older persons is just unimaginable, because many families find themselves in a very difficult situation trying to care for an older person, and especially an older person who develops a chronic illness like dementia. Families often don't understand, well, in 9 cases out of 10, don't understand dementia, are not aware of what is best to help a person suffering from dementia. And that's a type of unconscious abuse. And it's something that most people can't be blamed for, because people find it difficult just to understand sometimes what something like dementia does to a person. Mm. So, and one of the things that I and many of my colleagues do is just to help support families going through this difficult time, because it's something that's completely unknown. There are many questions that one thinks of. What are the financial implications? What are the social implications? What options are available? Where can we turn to for help? And as I said, as much as possible, social workers will try and help with that. But at the end of the day, families need to look for help. And you can look for help through the Department of Social Development, through clinics, through private practitioners, social workers. As you mentioned earlier on, I'm a member of SARSWIP. If you go to the SARSWIP website, there's a list there of social workers in regions and by what they do. So help is available, even though it might be in short supply. Families should look for it.
Hilton, what is that website address if anybody would like to look it up? You mentioned the South African Association of Social Workers in Private Practice. Is it the initials of that phrase?
Yes, you can just use the initials, SAASWIPP.
SAASWIPP.
Yes. And that will give you good information. And also one can look at websites, Alzheimer's SA have got a very good website. They provide online training for caregivers. Dementia South Africa provides good information on their website. And even if one Googles dementia, it will take you to a lot of overseas sites which provide information which is just as applicable here as it is in their countries.
Hilton Marks, thank you very much for joining us today. A social worker speaking to us there from Gauteng, a member of the South African Association of Social Workers in Private Practice. Matthew is on the line from Constantia wanting to respond to that interview. Matthew, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I'm literally driving around now buying building materials to renovate a flat in my house. Post-lockdown, we've decided to compromise our lifestyle and have my mother move back in with us. And there are a number of reasons, partly financial, partly social, partly that I realized in lockdown that I could lose her at any moment. Hmm. And, you know, here I am sitting at home because of some arbitrary law, and I don't get to see my dearest, my closest family member passing. It's forced me to relook at this whole culture of taking our parents and shoving them in old age homes. And I just think I honestly think it's a mistake we're making, and we need to relook at it, because we're losing out on their wisdom. We're losing out on their presence. As a family, putting people in an old age home costs the family more. Kicking the kids out and buying their own house costs the family more. And I just wonder, as westernized society, if we shouldn't be going back a couple of generations. Mm. Living in smaller spaces, sharing these spaces with our family, letting grandchildren and grandparents share new ideas and old ideas. And instead of being so secular, accept the fact that there is a compromise in living multigenerationally, but with that compromise, there comes so much wealth, and we save so much money, and we have that that lovely safety of having all of our most loved ones right there. Yeah, it is a compromise, but I think that we win so much by having all of our closest there, close to us.
Matthew, wonderful call, and I love the concept of the wealth that is created. It might not be financial wealth, it might be financially difficult to do so, but the wealth comes in other forms that you've touched on so beautifully there. I'd love to hear how others feel about Matthew's suggestion that that the loss of intergenerational living is a loss to society and one that we may regret down the line. I wonder if you have multiple generations of the same family all living together and you'd like to talk to us about the difficulties, the challenges that come with it, but also the gifts that it brings to your family. I look at the bond between grandchild and grandparent as something incredibly special that is beneficial in both directions. I'd love to hear your thoughts in response to that wonderful call from Matthew, and good luck with the building project, Matthew.